Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How are we all doing on this fine Tuesday in early April? Yankees are going to take on the Diamondbacks tonight. The Mets are hoping to play the Detroit Tigers over at Citi Field. Talked a lot of Mets early. You can rewind on the Odyssey app and hear the open, in which I proclaim I do not live in Panic City yet. Yet. I may get there. I ain't there yet. In the next half hour, play a game of Posted and Toasted where we test Tiki's knowledge on some of his coworkers and some of their old tweets from their history. But last night, the New York Yankees did it again. They beat the Arizona Diamondbacks, and there are a lot of things that jump out at you right now as a Yankee fan. They're ultra impressive. Anthony Volpe obviously being one of them. But Luis Gil, let's not forget who in the hell Luis Gil is. Because back in 2021, Luis Gil got called up, made six starts, and was really, really good. Like, really impressive. And then, unfortunately, Luis Gil had an injury. He had Tommy John surgery and missed a lot of time. So just for some perspective, last year when Luis Gil came back from Tommy John surgery, he went to single-A Tampa and threw four innings. That's it. That's the list. Four innings. The year before that, in 2022, if you combine the amount of innings he threw, you would get to 25 innings. Not a big number. When you go back to 2021, 79 innings. In fact, if you go through Luis Gil's entire career, professional career, going back to when he was with the Minnesota Twins as a 19-year-old, he has never thrown more than 96 innings in a season. So he's in the Yankee rotation. He's looking electric, but the Yankees have to be very smart with him, which is why last night, one out away from qualifying for a win, Aaron Boone did something that all the Yankee fans watching looked at and said, "What the hell are you doing?" Including the voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling wasn't exactly thrilled with Aaron Boone coming out and taking Luis Gil out.
Aaron Boone loves two outs. They're going to take him out. He's one out away from being eligible to win. I wouldn't do this. I don't get it. And he is going to the bullpen. It's a pitch count thing. But they don't want to hurt Gil. Boone would like to see him get the win, but they got to give him one batter.
I get why John wants to give him one batter. And by the way, that's the marvelousness of John Sterling. He don't give a crap. He's going to give you his opinion.
Right.
You may not like his opinion, but that is why I always say with John and Susan, they're doing a talk show during a baseball game, and I love it. I'm all for it. But here's why John, as much as it sucks for me to disagree with him, here's why he's wrong. Everything I just said. These guys barely pitched. And I know it stinks. Trust me, I get it. I know that we still think wins matter. Spoiler alert, they don't, and they never did. It was always a lie that meant nothing in baseball. Want to call me New Age? Fine. I've been New Age since I was nine because wins are overrated and they always have been. So it stinks, Tiki, to take that baseball away from him with two outs in the fifth inning. But this guy's barely pitched in the last 3 years.
I mean, I wasn't upset about it. And I don't, I mean, I'm sure he probably was thinking about it. I just need to get one more out and I can get a win here. But he also had thrown 84 pitches.
Yes.
Right? It's not like he was at 65. This was clearly a pitch count. Now, they haven't told us what the pitch count number is. I'm assuming it's around 70-something, 72.
I think the pitch count's 85. What they haven't told us is how many innings he's going to throw this year. That's the mystery.
Well, that too. But I think once you start getting up into the 70s and 80s, you got to start worrying about a guy who's coming off a surgery. Not that he's prone to re-injury, but he also hasn't been taxed. He hasn't been, I don't know, he hasn't had that kind of length on his body yet.
And never in his career.
That's what I mean. So, like, the last thing you want to do is, all right, let him throw 100 pitches and get the win and then be down on the IL for however long because he re-injures himself or has discomfort or something like that. So, I think, to me, it was a smart move. I know why people are upset about it, but at the end of the day, they won the game. And ultimately, it's a team sport.
Well, there's two things. Number one, the win stat is stupid and should be abolished. Let's start with that. No, I'm serious. It should be abolished. It's dumb. It's a dumb stat.
Well, look, if it is a
dumb stat. Is your dad going to be mad at me, Sean? Maybe. Is your dad going to call up angry?
No, Evan, I actually.
Daddy Morash wins stink. Mm. They don't matter. They never have. It was a lie they always told
all
you.
Right. Go ahead. Tell it to everybody who made the Hall of Fame because they won 300 games.
Yeah, right. It was all BS.
By the way, I'm with you on that, but this is more overarching and not to the point. Baseball then should abolish that you need to pitch 5 innings as a starter to
get
the win.
Mm. I agree.
When a win is established, that should be it. If wins don't matter, get to that.
What's the reasoning behind that? Because it's more than half the game? Is that literally what it is?
But if a reliever could come in and pitch the inning that you take the lead and they get one inning, it's a stupid rule.
You want to hear Grandpa Bernie's idea?
Sure.
Grandpa Bernie is my grandfather. He's no longer with us. But he was a New York Giants fan back in the day.
Go Big Blue.
He was also a war hero.
Not Big Blue.
Not that Big Blue.
The Giants.
Not that blue.
Oh, the baseball Giants.
The baseball team.
I thought you were just giving me and Tiki.
Why would I even mention the New York football Giants in the course of Grandpa Bernie?
Like, to try to get me and Tiki to support Grandpa Bernie.
No. How about just support him because he was a war hero?
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And Seymour Wiener.
Well, unfortunately, he's dead right now, so, you know, maybe he's listening. But Grandpa Bernie always used to tell me something. Got my dad into baseball. Mm-hmm. My dad got me into baseball. I can't say Grandpa got me into baseball. I got my dad into baseball. But when my grandfather would watch games with us, he would always say, I don't get this win. You know what they should do? You know what they should do? The official score should just decide who the winner is. That's it. I don't get. And then he would always give me the same example. Evan. By the way, my grandpa imitation is awful. He sounds nothing like this.
I was buying it.
I was too.
I know. I don't want to dishonor.
You got a real pulse on how your grandfather spoke.
because
it didn't sound like you. It sounded like somebody completely different. I'm like, wow.
Because I know for a fact, like my dad's listening, or maybe even my cousins are listening, and they're like, what is that? That don't sound like grandpa. Anyhow, I'm just doing a random old man at this point. But he used to say, I'll give you an example. Starting pitcher goes 8 innings, doesn't allow a run, okay? Closer comes in, gives up the lead, then they win anyway. He gets the win. He's a vulture. And I said, you're right. And he's the one who taught me that. Because from a young age, I said, you're so right, Grandpa. Like, this is so dumb. Mm. So just to satisfy anyone who gives a dopey stat about wins and they still care about it, yes, leave it up to the official scorer. But the bigger decision the Yankees have to make, Yankee fans, do you think you're good? Do you guys think you're a good baseball team?
I think we're great.
Yes.
You think you're great?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think they're great?
Yes.
Okay.
Great, maybe not yet, but very good.
Well, there's a damn good chance that this kid, Luis Gil, from the Dominican Republic, at 25 years old, is going to be awesome and is going to be a guy that you're like, dude, I need him pitching when it matters. If you want him pitching when it matters, then you got to protect him now.
Yeah.
This guy's never pitched more than 90 innings in his career. You think he's going to start every 6 days, throw 4 or 5 innings every start, get to 150 innings? That's not going to happen.
In fact, the Yankees sent him down despite him pitching great, but only had to make this call after call went down.
That's why, in the middle of the year,
they're trying to protect.
Right. In the middle of the year, they're probably going to do it again. And you guys are going to lose your minds, especially if he's pitching well. That's why on a night like last night, take him out.
I would trade Cole for Heal.
Excuse me?
I would trade Cole for him.
I get what you're saying. When you're trading Garrett Cole
I'm not losing my mind.
No, but I mean, if he's out pitching Clark Schmidt, I'm saying he will, he's out pitching Nasty Nestor, who's going tonight, I think Yankee fans would be frustrated. But the truth is, learn from the Matt Harvey crap from 2015. They got a baby, this guy. So last night, when John Sterling's all angry, and Yankee fans staying up late are like, come on, Luis needs his win. And he was laughing as he was coming off the mound. Now, it may have been an anger laugh. Did you hear what David Cohn was saying and Michael Kay was saying on the broadcast? Oh, those sons of bitches. You know what they were doing?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I heard, but it's not registered.
It registered with me. It was almost like they were promoting My Meds Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom. They take Luis Gil out, one out away from recording a win.
Okay.
Joe Torre did that to Denny Nagel in Game 4 of the 2000 World Series.
Hmm.
And it was at Shea Stadium. It was Mets-Yankees. And the guy who came in to replace Denny Nagel that night, and Denny was pissed. Like, Kay even
what
said.
What inning was it?
Fifth inning, one out away.
Same thing.
Kay said on the broadcast last night, Denny still doesn't send them Christmas cards, Joe Torre. He's still pissed about this. And by the way, probably a true story.
Is that in My Mets Bible?
It is, because what I thought...
Is that specific in My Mets Bible?
That moment is, but I had a different perspective. You know what my perspective was?
Which was?
Joe Torre was being such a bastard. He wanted to stick it to the Met fan, because the guy he brought in when he took Denny Nagel out to face Mike Piazza was David Cone. And that's why David on the broadcast was like, yeah, remember that? Yeah, we do remember that, David. At least I remember that. Is that a big moment in Yankee history or not?
I mean,
really?
You're trying to you're trying to win the game.
I
don't mind that.
I think that's more of a Met moment than a Yankee moment.
That's what I was going to say. I hate to say it, Evan, in the midst of a dynasty run. You know, it's like number 20 on moment.
Hey, Kay and Cone brought it up on the broadcast last night.
Well, the guy who benefited is sitting right there sitting on the broadcast.
So what did Cone say?
He laughed. He's like, yeah, remember when I came in the game with two outs in the fifth inning to face Mike Piazza?
So he's like, I felt like a jerk, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, God. That bothered me so much. But I think the Yankees need to be smart with Luis Gil. That's the important thing, because he's damn impressive.
Yeah.
How good did he look last night?
He could be the ace you pair with the Juan Soto era for the next decade.
Mm.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself, bro.
I'm telling you, dude.
I'm peacocking. I'm ahead of this train. I told you 104 wins. This team is rolling, baby.
So last night, I was sitting at home, and I retweeted something WFAN put out there. I wanted to be a team player.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an article. And even though Sean said it on our show, and I remember him saying it, me saying, boy, you're going a little too far. When I saw it in black and white, I was like, are you kidding me? Sean Morash says, I think this was the headline. Sean Morash says,
shock jock.
Juan Soto is now boo-proof, and he's the greatest Yankee since Babe Ruth.
No. He has the chance to be the greatest Yankee since Ruth. That's very important wording, because people miss that wording. Which, by the way, is not actually outlandish if you stop and think about his age and already his production in the league.
Yeah, that quote, it's not outlandish to think he can be the best Yankee since Ruth. He's that good.
Mm.
Yeah, but you just jumped over Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle.
A chance.
Okay, Evan. I'm just saying.
A chance is different than saying it after four games definitively.
Okay. All right, so you counted a little bit?
So if he jumped over DiMaggio.
He's never jumping over DiMaggio.
And went to the top.
He's not.
You know what? He's not. Honking a wave past Cheats, too.
Right. Oh,
come on. He's that good. No, look how young he is.
Sean, I think Juan Soto's a brilliant player. I've been on that train for a while. It's almost like Yankee fans just discovered he's a baseball player. He's been great for a long time.
Well, he hasn't been our baseball player. That's what so you pay attention, but you're not really paying attention.
I got you, but he's existed. All I'm saying is to pass Joe DiMaggio in this town?
DiMaggio wasn't getting a hit versus the Astros the last 5 years. And that's what Juan Soto did all weekend long.
Jeez. Now let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Wayne. How are you, Joe? Oh, my computer went out. I apologize. It literally went out. So can you punch up Joe and Wayne?
What up, Joe?
Hey, Tiki. Hey, Evan. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm a little confused. I'm trying to make a decision about going to tonight's Mets game.
Oh.
I'm coming to Wayne, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to meet my buddies at Arcola Country Club, and then we're going to drive in. So I got to go over two bridges, pay for parking, and then sit there. So
no,
I don't know if it's worth it.
No, it's not worth it. Now, I'm nervous, because if I say on the radio to you, don't go to that game, and they play the game, and the weather clears, I'm going to feel very, very bad. Mm. But I've got good news. I come with good news. Do you want the good news, Joe?
I want the good news.
The good news is I'm going to offer you something for the first time ever. It's never been awarded on WFAN, and I just started it right now based on the voice that you have and the concern that you have. I'm about to give
Hold on, hold on, hold on, Evan. Let me sit down.
Okay, sit down. Thank you. I'm about to give you Evan Insurance. What I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going to tell you, don't go to the game, don't waste your time. If I'm wrong and they play this game today, I got you for a future game.
Mm.
I got you. Does that seem fair?
That is absolutely wonderful.
Now, please put him on hold, Tiki, so Lugie can get his information, because I've learned from my mistakes in the past, which is I have guaranteed rainouts or guaranteed they're going to play. I've done that a lot, and I've been wrong quite a bit. I own my mistakes. And I can't do that to this gentleman.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. 75%.
Oh, they're not almost playing. I don't know. Look at the hourly for 9 and 10.
You think they get in the game in?
Once you get, like, after, not, as Sean's point.
There's like a two-hour window tonight.
It drops to like 50%.
And remember, tomorrow's forecast is not only the rain, the wind and rain pounding 100%. I think they might try to play tonight from like 8:30 to 10:30, 11.
You know what? Here's why I'm not worried. Okay, my Met tickets don't exactly have a lot of value right now. So if it's going to go to Joe and make him happy because he didn't sit out in horrible weather, then I feel okay.
Can you at least throw in a book?
Throw in a book,
my Mets Bible.
But that's worth more than the two tickets.
At some point, Evan needs somebody to buy these things. He can't just be giving them away.
You know what the problem is with this whole thing? It's very nice what I offered Joe, but now I'm afraid everyone's going to want Evan insurance. I can't offer it to everybody.
No.
I offered it to Joe because that's a really good question that I think a lot of Met fans are going to have tonight, which is, hey, I bought tickets. I want to go to the game. What am I supposed to do? So I'm not going to say this is a one-off. Maybe I'll offer Evan insurance another time. But for today, you got Joe's information? He's good to go?
Yeah, Joe's all set.
All right, he's got the first ever Evan insurance.
I'm emailing you his info now.
Boy, they're going to play, aren't they?
100%. We went.
The problem is if they don't play today, they're really screwed tomorrow.
Yeah, so I think what they would do is on Thursday, both teams don't play. It's called the common off day. Whenever I say common off day, Loogie loves it because he thinks I'm the only guy that finds the common off days immediately when there's rain in the forecast.
You are absolutely the only guy that knows this stuff.
I wouldn't even think about that.
Of course not.
But here's another caveat to baseballness. Tigers home opener Friday, 1:00 local time.
Yeah, so let me explain how this would go. And I'm purely speculating. I've got no insider knowledge from the Mets. I think they would try to play a 12:00 doubleheader on Thursday, which nobody would attend. I don't think anybody would go to it. It's Thursday. It's short notice. It's early in the day. But then again, what difference would that make from last night? Nobody was in attendance there either. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Shane in Westwood, New Jersey. What's up, Shane?
How you doing, Evan? Just so you guys don't forget, I think I was the one that should be credited with making Tiki a Devils fan. I called up.
That's right.
Yeah, Tiki, you want to thank him? You're not going to the playoffs. Congratulations.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you. When they get good in like 3 years, then I'll thank you. Actually, thank you.
Of course. You know, we'll go out to a game together.
Definitely.
Sometime. But hey, Evan.
Yes.
I was calling about Friday. I know it's kind of moved past that. The conversation's moved past. I tried to call yesterday. I didn't get you. But my point was, isn't the guys from another show, aren't they going to the Yankees home opener and doing a show from there?
Yes.
So why wouldn't, instead of causing this big trouble on Friday, which I'm not going to say didn't get you guys views, but why not set Evan and maybe Loogie up in a box at Citi Field doing opening day for the Mets?
Yeah, we're working on that for 2025. It's a great idea. That's already in the works. I don't know if that could actually happen, but... No. Seems like my idea for Friday or Thursday, whatever the hell day it was now, was I was going to be on the phone with Tiki for an hour.
Yeah.
Set the scene from opening day, talk a little Yankees, have some fun.
Spike came and ruined it. I was getting ready to ask you about the atmosphere, the weather, because it was terrible the day before. I know it was chilly because we saw it when you came in. You were freezing and disheveled.
I was freezing and disheveled.
And you got yourself right and you did the show for an hour and a half, two hours, whatever it was.
And as freezing and disheveled as I was for Friday's opening day at Citi Field, I'm looking at the weather for this Friday at Yankee Stadium, and it's looking like it's going to be nippy too. Yeah. Now, luckily, the rain is going away, which is huge, so they're not going to deal with that kind of crap, and that would be a disaster because the Yankees don't have the built-in off day. If they had to rain out Friday's opening day, I mean, what would they do? Basically play a day-night doubleheader on Saturday?
That's why Saturday's game's a night game.
I thought it was because it was a Fox game.
Is it not a Fox game?
Oh, it's not a Fox game.
So it's going to be cold.
Because
the daytime high is 50-something.
But Sean's right. They did it to build in the off day. Like, it's not an off day, but to build in, hey, if Friday gets rained out, we got you Saturday afternoon.
Oh, makes sense.
So that does make sense. But the temperature is supposed to be pretty nippy on Friday. Are you going to opening day, Sean?
Oh, I'm going to opening day.
Interesting.
I just got a confirmation on somebody who might be sitting next to me on opening day.
Who's sitting next to you on opening day?
I think one Big Mac.
Look at that. Two super Yankee fans. I debate in my mind who's a bigger Yankee fan, Big Mac or Sean Morash. They're both such great Yankee fans.
I don't know, but he's also... Sean has so much like enthusiasm for all of his teams. So how big can he be?
Oh, so you're questioning it.
Yeah.
So you're saying Big Mac's not enthusiastic for his other teams?
I don't even know Big Mac's other teams.
I just know, same as Sean, except for the Knicks.
I just know he's a Yankee fan.
Yes.
Big Mac. I know he's like ridiculous because he does a podcast for the Giants.
That's obviously all he does
is talk about the Rangers, even though nobody talks hockey on WFAN except for our show.
I'm more eclectic than
Big Mac. I had to become a Devils fan because you talk so much damn hockey and then the Yankees. So who's won?
Yeah. That's the thing. You don't have to rank them. And you love everybody. What children do you love? You love them all?
No, it's a great point.
That's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
I'm just kidding.
You love one more child than the other?
Careful, T.
That's crazy. Let's go to Chris in Flint, Michigan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Pretty good. What's up?
Well, Tiki, guess what I'm doing right now?
What's that?
Pumping my own gas.
That's my man!
Is it
freezing in Flint, Michigan right now?
It's raining. It's nasty. I'm sure it's the same thing you guys get.
Think about how amazing it would be to pull up to the gas pump and have somebody else stand out in the freezing-ass cold weather and pump your gas.
So today I would love that.
Exactly.
Evan, yes. I got your book coming. I think it's going to be here tomorrow. I also pre-ordered the audio book.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I was the one that called and said, you have to fight for your rights to read your own book. Mm-hmm. There's no way anyone else could get it through like you.
Thank you.
So I want to say that I listen from 6 to 6 every day. It helps work go by, all that stuff.
We do appreciate that here at WFAN. Thank you for your loyalty.
Boomer was so negative when you were in there talking about Johan's no-hitter didn't count. Oh, it ruined his life, blah, blah, blah.
That pissed me off more than anything today.
I know. I could hear it. Sale all day was so negative. He had this cult-like following of these quote-unquote Mets fans who were ready to jump off a bridge and ready to drink the pinstripe Kool-Aid. I could not believe it or take it. I told myself, if Evan was going to be negative today, I'm booking my appointment. I'm getting my Mets tattoo removed. I'm ripping the decal off my car. The flags are coming down.
Jeez.
But thank God I got the real whimsical Evan, my whimsical brother from another mother. I love the truth. You are a diehard fan. You're telling it like it is. We don't have to worry. Look at the bottom teams of our division. They don't have great records right now. Mm-hmm. The only reason it's a real big deal is because there's two teams in New York, and they have complete opposite records right now.
Well,
right?
Chris, that is a big factor. And I brought this up yesterday to Tiki. And I thought your revolution on this was fascinating because at first I brought that up and said, look, the Yankees being off to a good start hurts. And mm-hmm. Tiki said, that makes no sense. And then I gave him a comparison. And I want to give everybody in the audience the same comparison if you missed it yesterday. For the Jet and Giant fans out there, the Giants will likely go into next year with not huge expectations.
Right.
The Jets will. If we are all hanging out together, and we are, and the Giants are 0-2 and the Jets are 2-0, even though the Giants aren't doing anything
wrong,
that awful. Right. I mean, it's not good, but it's not that awful.
And they have the quarterback questions. They don't have they're not set.
But if the Jets are 2-0 and I'm beating my chest,
mm-hmm.
and Beningo is beating his chest, and you know BT is beating his chest, and we are giddy. Nothing wrong with that. We should be giddy. It will make your 0-2 worse.
Right.
And you know it.
Well.
And you know it.
Well.
Yes.
Sort of.
No.
I do love Nate Hackett. He's my dude, man.
I love Nate Hackett.
We just went to a Red Bulls game last weekend. So
I will
feel good for him.
But it will bother you.
Maybe.
And that's not
as much as others, though.
And that's
because I have a tie.
Okay. It will bother you.
Not as much as it won't. I promise you, it won't bother me as much as Sean.
Maybe not as much as Sean, but you can
understand. It'll eat at me.
You can understand how that plays a role. And so we live in a two-team town when it comes to baseball, football, basketball.
But I also don't hate the Jets.
It's not about hating the Jets. I don't hate the Yankees. Have I given you any indication I hate the Yankees? I call it like it is. I'm fair. It's not the Knicks.
I'm trying to remember the trolls from a year ago.
I didn't troll. I call it like it is.
Loogie's more of the Yankee.
Yeah.
I give Evan that.
No, I get crap from Met fans for not hating.
It was so late in the season when we got together as a show. Right? It was basically over already.
Yeah, but I'm telling you because Loogie will be the first to tell you this. I'm not a Yankee hater. I get a lot of crap for that. Loogie, it bothers him.
I think Evan's a closet Yankee fan.
Stop with that.
Mm. You get giddy about certain things about the Yankees and you sort of celebrate certain things that...
That's because he's an IBO.
No, he's not an IBO. He's a Met fan.
No, he's an
what IBO would that be?
He's an IBO, which means that he can appreciate when another team does great things, independent of fandom.
Well, I question that because when you're a Met fan and you made the wrong life choice, I would not celebrate anything that the other team that wins
it's
all the time does.
It's not celebrating it. It's talking about it in a respectful and reasonable way.
I'm saying
I do not hate the New York Yankees. So my point to you is he does. That guy over there, Luke, he does.
Yes.
I do not. I actually forgot my point. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 877-337-6666. There was a historical moment in baseball last night and something else impressive about the Yankees' start that maybe you don't realize. But when we come back, it's the return of Posted and Toasted, old tweets from our coworkers, and we guess who tweeted it. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll get you set for tonight, which includes a massive Knicks game. They take on the Miami Heat. Kind of say hello to your rivals. Not only your rivals, not only a team that knocked you out last year, a team that knocked out Julius Randle earlier this season, that changed the view of potentially where this Knicks season goes. We'll touch on that coming up as we enter the 5 o'clock hour. We'll keep you posted on the Mets playing tonight with rain in the forecast against the Tigers. And obviously the red-hot New York Yankees threatening to become the first team in the history of baseball to go 162-0. And if they win tonight and they win tomorrow and they could get to 6-0, or 7-0, I should say. If they get to 7-0, that, you know what we're going to give you?
What?
I have to give this to you Thursday, but only if they're 7-0. One of the most famous phone calls in WFAN history that doesn't get quite the same attention as the Giants and Giants picnic.
Uh-huh.
And that was a phone call to the great Mike Francesa. We sit in his studio today. We have great appreciation for him. But a caller called in and said, "Hey, Mike, do you think a baseball team will ever go 162-0. Mike, not a fan of the question. So if the Yankees can get to 7-0, we got to bring that call back and take a listen because maybe Mike will have the coldest take ever as the Yankees embark on 162-0. But it is time for your weekly Tuesday 3:30. Your very popular Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted on Evan and Tiki.
Very, very simple. We find old tweets from a lot of our coworkers here at WFAN. I'll read the tweet, and then we'll have Tiki guess who actually posted it. Are you ready for option number one?
I am.
Let's go back to September 19th, 2011. So we're going back a long time. September 19th. Okay. The West Babylon Shop and Stop is flowing with hot chicks tonight. Forget the bar scene. The supermarket on a Monday is where it's at. Who posted? Is it Gio Greg Giannotti, Al Dukes, Sean Morash, or Tommy Lugauer?
Sean Morash.
I think that's Bush.
Mm-hmm. How did you know that so quickly?
Because of West Babylon.
Damn it!
Can you read that date again?
September
19th. You better have not been married yet.
September 19th, 2011.
It's my wife's birthday.
Wait a second. On your wife's birthday, you tweeted about the hot chicks flowing from the West Babylon Stop and Shop?
Yeah, and 3:30's in the wheelhouse when she's in the car.
Right.
Well, guess what? Toasted.
She better have been one of them.
On her birthday?
She better have been one of them.
Why were you so horny at the West Babylon Stop and Shop where you're like oozing out, "Oh, I got to tweet about this."
Was she there getting groceries or something?
I mean, it was 2011, dude. Egg prices. I don't know.
Was there a giant Monday Night Football game that night? September 19, 2011.
I'll look. I doubt it. Because I got engaged in the bye week after they won the NFC Championship, so I was not yet engaged.
Interesting. All right, so there you go. Tiki's one for one. Pretty good. Here it is. Post number two. This one is from November 2nd, 2009. My good deed for the day. Giving Minko the potato chips I got with the sandwich I bought. It was like giving a dog a biscuit. Who posted that? Would it be Greg Giannotti, Al Dukes, Jerry Recco, or Tommy Lugauer?
What was the date again?
November 2nd, 2009.
I'm going to say...
All of them were working at WFAN, I think. Lugie was here, right? 2009? Yeah.
Yes.
They were all here. You get nothing out of that date.
I'm going to say Giannotti.
You guys suck! 2 for 2. Look at Tiki's getting good at this game.
Wow. And by the way, was a Giant game that night. I blew off my soon-to-be wife's birthday. Giants-Rams, Dominic Hickson tore his ACL. I forgot that.
Wow. Oh. So the Giants played a role in this. You're out there getting food for a Monday night party. You're not thinking about your wife.
Yep.
You're seeing all these beautiful women at the West Babylon Stop and Shop.
Are you married yet?
No, I got engaged in the bye week.
Oh, jeez. You're making it worse.
Why would the bye week
every
matter?
Every detail, you're making it worse.
I had time to get engaged.
Is that a normal thing? Like the Stop and Shop is like really, you know, happening? Is that a current thing, or is that from 2011
only? I transitioned to King Cullen, so I can't tell you, but back in the day, I guess so.
Here's post number three. This is from August 30th, 2012, and we have a couple of tweets about the same subject. We wanted to honor a vice presidential candidate, or at least a potential vice presidential candidate, so you'll notice the common thread here. First, again, August 30th, 2012. The heck with Romney and Obama. Marco Rubio acts, looks, and speaks like he should be our very next president. Very impressive. Is that Brandon Tierney, Boomer Esiason, Jerry Recco, or Evan Roberts?
That's Brandon Tierney.
You're wrong.
Dang it. Go, we finally got him. No perfect game for Tiki.
Dang it.
It is not Brandon Tierney.
You know why I picked Brandon Tierney?
Why is that?
Because we had Marco Rubio on our show.
Marco Rubio is very popular amongst old tweets by WFAN coworkers. Because yeah. I got another one coming up too, by the way. Sean, would you like to make a guess on that
I'm going to go with you, Ev.
You're going to go with me.
You're wrong.
You thought I was... I screw Romney and Obama. Get me Marco Rubio. Okay. The answer is Jerry Recco.
Couple of D-bags.
That's good. Jerry Recco was ready to dump them both for Marco Rubio. Anyhow, how about another Marco Rubio tweet? That'd be fun. Let's jump to actually the same date, August 30th, 2012. Same day. Rubio is going Drysdale on Obama. Cheese up and in. He's killing it. Is that Boomer Esiason, Brandon Tierney, Evan Roberts, or Chris McMonagle?
That's Evan Roberts.
You're wrong.
Gotta play the game, T. He just told me he wasn't doing
everything about Rubio. I mocked that I would fall in love with him.
Yes, but that sounds like it's like.
Remember when he took 5 minutes to drink his water?
It's a Drysdale.
Right.
Oh, the Drysdale thing?
Yeah.
All right, well,
yeah.
It was not me, so we're down to Big Mac, BT, and Boomer. Who are you going with?
I'm going Boomer.
You're going Boomer?
You're wrong.
Good guess. The answer, Brandon Tierney.
Jet Life Stadium.
A little Brandon Tierney action.
Yeah, 80s reference. All right.
Eight reference.
Whatever. I wasn't alive for Drysdale.
60s, man.
Anyhow.
He's only like six.
Yeah, it's just known Don Drysdale. That's like one of those things where you didn't even have to see him. Like, Tiki's right. Would I make that reference? Absolutely.
Of course.
I'd make a Drysdale reference. The only thing I wouldn't do, like these two schmucks, is kiss the ass of Marco Rubio like he's something special.
I didn't know if it was a joke.
No. Oh, like, that was being sarcastic.
Like one praising him and then the other one like mocking him.
Actually, you know what? I have to confess. I think I did like Rubio for a short period of time. I'm sitting here mocking him. Because, you know, someone will go on my Twitter and say, wait, I just found one. You said Rubio's great. And right, here's our final post. We go back to July 5th, 2017. What kind of animal closes the lid of a public toilet after using it, thus forcing me to touch the seat in order for me to use it? Is that Evan Roberts, Al Dukes, Pete Hoffman, or Tommy Lugauer?
That's Al Dukes.
A nice round ass.
You are correct. Al is very much into the bathroom stuff.
He is always on the bathroom stuff.
But
I hear bathroom fodder, Al Dukes.
He makes a great point, though. I mean, here's the thing about Al, because I think Al sometimes gets a little too disrespected around here. I think he has one of the more brilliant minds out there. He thinks of things, and when you hear it at first, you're like, that's stupid. And then when you think about it, you're like, wait a second, that makes a lot of sense. So think about what Al is saying. If you close the lid of a public toilet after using it, because maybe you're in the habit of your wife telling you, we had that long discussion with Lugie about
it. But this is not putting the seat down. This is closing the top lid.
That's true. You're closing the lid. Either way, though. But you're then forcing the next person to have to touch it, and most people don't want to touch it. Like, when you have to use a bathroom stall, do you want to touch the lid of the toilet, or are you just hoping that it's just open? I could just clean it up and sit down.
I mean, you're
about
to...
If you don't want to touch, just kick it.
Use your foot.
Kick it.
Or grab toilet paper and lift it up that way.
Right.
I don't know. I still think it's respectful overall to close. I don't want to walk in and see anything and immediately be turned off.
I disagree. Well, what if you open up the lid and then there's your surprise? Isn't that almost worse?
Oh, it's like somebody jumping out of a cake.
I think Al's right on about that. I think it's a great point by Al Duke, so I commend him. I second that tweet. Very good point. Anyhow, thank you very much for playing another edition of Posted and Toasted. If you've noticed any old posts that maybe should be used in Posted and Toasted, I should not recommend that. Send them to me. Actually, email them to me at thericob@gmail.com, and we'll go through them, and maybe you'll get to hear an old post that you found on another edition of Posted and Toasted.
Who X'd It?
Or known as Who X'd It, every Tuesday, 3:30, right here.
I'm proud of myself. I was 500, over 500, that one.
Three out of five.
Three out of five.
You're getting better, Tiki.
I am.
You're doing a really good job. Let's go to Josh in Poughkeepsie. How you doing, Josh? Hello, Josh.
What up, Josh?
Evan, congrats on the book release.
Thank you.
Tiki, congrats on being the only reason why Evan's going to sell any books.
It's a good point. Thank you.
That's funny.
So I'm a big Yankee fan. Last night I'm sitting home and I'm about to watch the Yankees and I'm scrolling through the TV and I see the Mets are on. So I'm like, oh, let me turn the Met game on for a laugh real quick. And it's the bottom of the or top of the ninth, bottom of the ninth, whatever it was, and they pinch hit McNeil. And he comes up, three straight pitches, looks like he shouldn't even have been in the batter's box. And then he laughs his way back to the dugout.
Yeah.
Did anybody else see that?
I did see that, and I'm going to give you a defense that I'm curious if you're going to buy, Josh, as a Yankee fan, because I'm speaking to somebody that seems like an IBO. You're an independent baseball observer. I think that there are some baseball players, one of which is a guy by the name of John Franco. I thought he used to do this all the time, that when they fail, they smile. Like their laugh, their smile is not because they don't care, but because that's how they feel in the moment to express how disappointed or angry that they are. Hmm. And I take Jeff McNeil as one of those kinds of guys. Do you buy that, Josh in Poughkeepsie?
I mean, I guess. If I'm a Met fan, that would have made me angry.
No, and I get that. And that's why I'm actually glad you called up and brought this up, because I'm sure there are Met fans who thought that last night. And I'm just giving you not an excuse, because when I was young, John Franco used to do that all the time. All the time. Like, he'd blow his save and have a smile on his face. Now, anybody that knows John Franco gave a damn. John Franco probably gave a damn more than anybody else that maybe ever wore a Met jersey.
Yeah,
I say that with the ultimate respect to John Franco, if he's listening out there. I know he cared. I know that when he gave up a bomb to Glenn Allen Hill, he wasn't smiling because he had a good time. That's my dig at John, but it's also the truth. But I also knew he cared. And never once, even though at first, I shouldn't say never once, early on, I wondered, like, why is he smiling?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad would tell me. My dad's getting a lot of pops on the air today. My dad would tell me, it's because he cares. That's how some people act. And I think Jeff McNeil, even though he's certainly not John Franco, I don't think that's him telling you striking out in the ninth inning doesn't matter to him. I think that's almost the nervous reaction to the fact that he is a mess right now.
Right. It's almost an embarrassment thing.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to even walk back to the dugout. And so you're just kind of trying to give yourself levity.
Maybe.
Right. You're trying to lift yourself in some way because you're embarrassed.
Well, wait a second. I'm talking to you.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you embarrassed yourself, but you're a smiler.
Mm-hmm.
You're a smiler.
I never smiled after I fumbled.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Ever.
So what was Ever. Was it just like,
I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was always pissed.
But you never had a smile to combat the anger that you had?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
No. I mean, I smiled when I'd get hit because I wanted to get helped up.
That's different.
Right.
Sean, can you find an example of Tiki fumbling and smiling? So we can post and toast him.
You got 59 of them. You'll find one.
We can't wait to relive those.
No, but I believe you, obviously. Yeah. So you're telling me you would not have that reaction that I described.
Especially after I knew that I had an issue, because it would really piss me off.
But I think,
because for most of my career, I didn't, like, the first 4 years of my career, I didn't even think about it.
Right.
Just like, whatever.
But I don't think Jeff McNeil's not pissed off. I know Jeff is taking a beating right now, and I totally get why. He did not have a good year last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did not hit in spring training when he played. He had a very late spring training. He hasn't hit the start. He got a weird off day yesterday that puts up the antennas.
Right.
So I get why Jeff McNeil's going to be one of the whipping boys. I'm not defending his performance in any way, but I am defending the care. Like, I don't think the smile means he's not angry about it.
I don't either, but I'm just trying to think of that reaction.
Your pause scared me, by the way. I thought you were about to say, no, Evan, it means you don't care.
No, he definitely cares, obviously, because he just got paid a couple years ago. Like, he wants to live up. Every athlete wants to live up to what their number says that they're worth, and meaning it's his paycheck says that he's worth. I'm trying to think of it in the moment, because it's not like it was the third inning.
Right.
right?
It was the ninth inning.
It was the ninth inning.
He
it was
pinch a, hit in a big
right,
spot.
A critical moment yep. in an important game.
Not, runner I mean, on first, two outs, ninth inning. You get a double, that's going to win the game.
Right. Or just get on and extend it.
Yes.
Right? Instead.
Yeah, but Joey Wendell's on deck, which means he wasn't extending anything.
You know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I'm being a jerk to Joey Wendell, who's had like five at-bats. But he made a big error.
Yeah.
That pissed me
off. Just makes it feel like it's like he's in his mind saying this is ludicrous about himself.
About himself, yeah, yeah.
About himself.
Brian's calling from Islip. Hey, Brian.
Hey, hey. You remember Nick Swisher used to do that? It used to aggravate the heck out of me as a Yankee fan. The ALDS, his third strikeout in a big spot.
Yep.
And he'd be laughing like it was a Chappelle Show skit.
Right, but you know what?
Oh, it used to
but, Brian, that's Swish, though. That's just his personality.
Yeah. You know who hates Nick Swisher?
Who?
Like, hates Nick Swisher. And the only reason I know this, and I know this may be giving away some future episodes, but that's okay. Because of my research in Posted and Toasted, mm-hmm. I know a lot about everybody. I know the flip-flopping. I know the consistencies. I know everything. And there is a guy amongst us who hates Nick Swisher. And, of course, that's Sean Morash.
Sean? Why do
Sean,
you hate Nick?
You hate Nick Swisher.
I no longer. I like him again on TV.
But you did hate Nick Swisher.
I grew very frustrated with him. As
There's a tweet we're going to whip out at some point. I'm going to wait 6 months so you forget about it, assuming the segment's still going on.
Uh-huh.
That's going to say, I can't wait to get to Yankee Stadium so I can boo Nick Swisher.
He drove me nuts. He lost me at one point.
Right, so why would you?
It wasn't, by the way, I liked the attitude and all that stuff, but his play, the strikeouts, the smiling like he put out, Nick Swisher's ambiance never matched the play, and it drove me nuts.
But that's just who he is. Because even
now, he's just a crappy player that
smiles.
No.
I'm talking about his personality. Forget him as a player. Forget him professionally. I'm talking about, like, personally. That's just how he is.
Yeah.
But he's got a ridiculous energy.
But our caller's right. He used to do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
The one that jumped out at me was Johnny Franco, but there are others.
Chapman after the Altuve homer?
That's another one, yeah. And I remember people calling up saying the same thing. Chapman doesn't care. Like, look, you can say a lot of things about Aroldis Chapman.
Hold on. Now you got to look back at that and say maybe Chapman knew that they were cheating.
I think there may have been a shock to him.
I'm just saying.
Yes, I think it's connected.
Like someone
I think,
told him, be careful because they know what's coming. And he's like, all right, well, I'm not throwing 99 right now. I'm throwing 82.
But that's what I'm thinking. Like, I think that his reaction may have been laughing at, how did he know that was coming?
Yeah, these son of a bitches.
Right.
They're actually doing what they said they're doing. They're actually cheating.
Sons of bitches. Jim's calling from Connecticut. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
What's up, man?
I'm going to go backwards to...
That's fine.
The whole... Yankees starting good, Mets starting good.
Yeah, so we have to dump you on that. And can we give him a second shot to clean up his phone call? Okay, you got to promise me, Jim, before you continue, I need you to keep it very, very clean right now, okay? Because we gave you one little mulligan. Go ahead now.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
They get one win, the home and home.
Okay.
And I'm talking to all my Red Sox fan friends, and we're going, they go, oh, yeah, this is the year. I said, no, Yankees will finish in first.
Okay.
What do? You finish in first. Remember 2004?
Yes, I do remember 2004. I don't understand the comparison, though. Like, why would that even matter? Like, you're talking about a team that lost in the American League Championship Series. I know we mock, or at least I mock, you know, what happened and what it turned into. But, like, well, I don't know what that has to do with anything. In fact, I don't think it has to do with anything. I don't even think they opened with the Red Sox that year. They opened in Japan. That was the year they actually opened in Japan. They played the two games against Tampa Bay. Maybe that's what he meant. The home and home against the Rays is maybe what he meant.
Oh, yeah. That was when Mussina wouldn't leave the hotel room.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. He was so pissed off and thrown off his routine that he didn't even want to go out to dinner with any guys. He sat in his hotel room. Legend has it eating peanut butter and jelly until they left back for America.
Interesting. Mm. Well, I appreciate that because that was more interesting
in
than what our caller's point was because it didn't
Why
make any
do
sense.
That? Japan's beautiful, dude.
Didn't like being thrown off his routine and having to travel to Japan.
It's not about Japan being beautiful. He's doing a job. He's got a pitch in the major leagues.
Okay, but how long were they there?
They were probably there for like 4 days. It's a business trip. It's a business trip.
That's a long way to go for 4 days.
Well, I mean, it's a baseball series.
I understand that, but that's a long way to go for 4 days.
Well, I tell you, if the Giants had to play in Japan, you guys would have been in trouble, Sean.
Yeah.
Tiki would have been like, I ain't studying anything. Right. I'm going to go explore Japan.
Right. No, I would have been like, all right, I'll see you guys. I'm going a week early. I'll see you. All right, y'all can do this turnaround in 4 days, 15 hours both ways. Not me.
Gary's calling from Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Gary?
How you doing today?
We're doing good today. What's up?
I heard what you were saying about
20 minutes ago that the Yankees could go 7-0.
162-0. That's what we were talking about. Forget 7-0.
Yeah, 162-0.
They're damn right.
And I think the Yankees are going to go all the way this year.
Well, if they're going to go all the way, you think they can do 162-0, though? Because that's really what we're talking about.
Yep, they're going to go 162-0.
All right, what I want you to do, Loogie, is I want you to save that audio. We're going to compare it to the famous phone call made to Mike Francesa a decade ago and see if that was the same guy who called up Mike and said, do you think the Yankees can go 162-0?
What year was that?
With the phone call?
No, with the Francesa one.
Yeah, so the phone call to Mike. I don't remember. I'm going to guess like 2013. Mm. Do you think a team could go 162-0? Now I hope the Yankees don't lose for 2 weeks because it will start to occur. Like, who's going to be the first person to seriously say, hey,
it's
what do you think?
It's never going to happen. Longest it's ever gone is 13.
Is that the all-time record?
Yes.
Who has the all-time record?
The Rays. They did it last year.
That's the all-time record?
Yes. Tied.
Last year's the all-time record?
With the Brewers and the Braves.
Look at you doing your research.
I did. Because you brought it up. I was like, well, who actually?
The most consecutive wins to start a year.
Yes.
Is 13.
Yes.
And it was set by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, you remember this.
Last year. Why would I remember? Because I asked questions about the Rays?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right.
And who was the other team you said, the Braves?
The 82 Braves and the 87 Brewers.
Wow, you know what all three teams have in common? They didn't win a damn thing. How about that? You know what I remember? I remember.
Right, this is just like winning the President's Trophy.
That's right. I remember the Cubs 1 year, and you could look this up, starting a year 0-14.
And
the Mets, or 0-13, you got to get the exact number. And they were playing the Mets at Shea Stadium. And I'm in the building thinking, we can't lose to this team. They're 0-13. And we did. We lost one of the games to them. Oh, that's amazing. That's incredible. Good information by Tiki Barber. Look at you. You're the stats guy. They say I'm the baseball guy. No.
Streak. The Phillies.
Oh, look at you. You're looking this up?
61. Back 23.
23
games in 1961.
Not to start the season, though. Middle of the season. I think the longest losing streak of all time is
Yeah, that's just the longest losing streak in a season.
In the midst of
the
season.
The longest losing streak to start a season was 21.
21.
The Orioles in 88.
You know what? That one, not that I remember it, but I remember reading about it. I'll tell you this right now. How many out of 21 would it take for Evan to get to Panic City for the Mets? 0-7?
No.
0-9?
I think once you got to like 12.
I'd be there before that.
I don't know, man.
You think at 0-11 I'm going to sit here and say it's early?
Hey, Senga's still coming back.
Yeah, you're right.
0-12?
Evan, I don't know, man.
You guys really think I'm that
delusional? Francisco Alvarez is fantastic.
Evan, you came in
Pete's
here.
Pete's still going to hit 42 home runs.
You came in here and celebrated a win after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. I think anything is on the table for you to find positive spin as a fan.
We'll come back with your calls, 877-337-6666. Plus, last night was a historic night in baseball, and I'm not sure if anybody cares anymore, yet I still do. We'll try to figure out if anyone does. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.